I feel like I launched into the future, Pastor David, because it's taken me 7 months to get the courage up. But Wednesday night we started at Genesis 1:1, and we're going to head north, brother, until we reach the last word in Revelation. And we're just going to go through the Bible, and I'm very excited about that. You know, isn't it funny how when different people watch an event, they all see something different? You know, at a crime scene, if there's a bad guy, and then the police officers start asking the witnesses, well, what did he look like? Oh, he's a big, tall guy. The next witness, he was a short guy. He was a fat guy. He was a skinny guy. Everybody looks at something and sees something different. And you know, that's how it is with creation. When we read the story of creation, I think that many of us get something different about God. But church, when I look at creation, I see the cross. And so this morning, I want to read through creation. And I won't do this every week, but this is important. We're going to read the entire first chapter of Genesis. And then my text will be from the second chapter, the first three verses, speaking about rest in the Lord, the Sabbath. But before we start, we did this on Wednesday, but I want to do it this morning as well. Let's just dedicate this trek through the Scripture to God and to His honor and to His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Oh Lord, how could we live without it? We just thank You so much for drafting a love letter to us, Lord. For telling us and showing us Your love and for guiding the way for how You want us to live. And so, Lord, as we here at Calvert Chapel, Simi Valley, as we launch into Your Word, we promise, Lord, to go one word at a time, all the way through, not skipping anything, not taking our own agenda, but just taking Yours by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, bless the entire counsel of God as we faithfully study it for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need a Bible this morning, if you raise your hand, our ushers will bring you one, because you don't want to miss this. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." And so God created sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiplying, fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. And then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. And then God blessed the seventh day, and He sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. This morning, we will look at the work, the rest, and the sanctification of creation. And I'll entitle my sermon this morning, "A Day of Rest." First of all, look at the work. We just read 6 days of work. 6 days of creation. 6 days, I would say, of preparation. From the onset, beloved, God prepared the earth for you and for me. That was His entire purpose. It was a preparation. And look what He did in 6 days. I can't help but draw your attention to the fact that for thousands and thousands of years, He's now been working on our new home. Oh, can you imagine what it must look like? This is going to be a campground compared to that. The work. Who involved in the work? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Three in one, working together. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." The word "framed" here means completed thoroughly. And as we will talk more, the finished, thorough work of the Lord is very important to an accurate view of the Sabbath or the day of rest. He was done. He was finished. And what He did in creation was complete. When you come to the second chapter of Genesis, creation's finished. It is completed. By the Word of God, literally, by the utterance of God. Beloved, God created our world out of nothing. Out of nothing. He didn't take an amoeba and an explosion and mix them. Every silly example that you can imagine. He didn't do that. He made it out of nothing. It was funny, on this past Wednesday night, I made an example of my watch, that if I took my watch apart piece by piece and I threw it up in the air and it landed on the ground, the chances of it landing assembled, working, and set to the right date and time, it's 10 million times more likely that God created the heavens and the earth than evolution. 10 million chances in one that watch is not going to land that way. And you know what was funny? The very next day it broke. And I had to throw it away. God's little sense of humor there. And it broke on Thursday. My goodness. God created our universe from nothing. And might I add, beloved, that the God of creation can recreate your world, no matter what condition you find it in. He can recreate your world. If in 6 days God can say, let there be billions of stars, let them spin and rotate in perfect mathematical sequence, let the waters be divided from the waters, that He can say, He can speak into your life, let destruction become construction. Let the burnt coal of your life become the diamonds of your life. He can recreate your world if you'll only not quit on Him. And Genesis recaps this creation project in chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all of the host of them were finished. Not only the earth, not only the sun, not only the moon, He created every living thing on the earth. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. What does that mean? It means surfs up. It means He makes the waves. We sat last night with some friends at the beach and we watched His son disappear behind the harbor in Ventura. It got dark for a little bit and then the moon came right up. We cast our own shadows on the sands and we sat there and just listened to the ocean, wave after wave after wave. And we all said to one another, isn't evolution amazing? No, that's not what we said. We said God is faithful. He sends the waves, wave after wave, beloved, to remind us of His power. Let all the earth fear, stand in awe. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. John chapter 1 begins with these three verses. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, speaking of who? Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. So not only is the work miraculously important, but the participants are important. Beloved, the Father was there. Genesis tells us that the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. Literally, the earth shook with His presence. And John reminds us that nothing that was made on the day of creation was made without the Son, Jesus Christ, being involved. They were then, and they are now, our only source of life and hope and peace. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So Christian, what should the work of creation mean to you? It should mean that the God of creation can rebuild a world for you. In other words, a life of peace and a life of joy, no matter how far that you've wandered from Him today. The God of creation, the very God that spoke the universe into existence, knows where you are. He's the great shepherd. And you haven't wandered so far from Him that He can't find you. The work of creation is that the God of creation is still on the throne. The rest of creation, again back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Now this is an interesting thing. Why did He rest? And you know, for some of us, for some of you who are nap takers, I'm not, I wish I could be. But for some of you nap takers, you have an immediate answer. Well, He rested because He wants us to take naps. Don't you see? I see it clearly in the Scripture that God is a nap taker. No, He's not. I hate to disappoint you. Now listen, I'm not telling you not to take naps. If you have the lifestyle that affords you to take naps, then you just go on doing it. The rest of us will be jealous of you. But, you know, it's true that people who take naps are healthier. They live longer. And so if you can do it, God bless you. Pray for us as you're drifting off to sleep. Don't forget us non-nap takers. God did not rest because He was tired. It was for a very specific reason, and I don't want you to miss it. Aren't you glad that you're never going to hear from God? Aren't you glad that you're never going to hear this? You start to pray, Lord, from heaven, hold it just a second. Man, can you come back and pray tomorrow? Because I'm beat. I just had it. And if you don't mind, you know, I'm going to take the afternoon off. And I tell you what, you pray to me tomorrow morning, and then I'll be ready. You're never going to hear that. We're never going to hear that God's weary, that God's burnt out, that He just needs some time. You're never going to hear from God that He just needs some me time. And you know, call back later. Isaiah 40:28 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, never faints, nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Okay, He's never tired, Tim. So why did He rest? Beloved, He rested because His work was perfectly and completely finished. He was done. There was nothing more to do. Nothing evolving in this story. God didn't create seedlings and wait for the Garden of Eden to grow up for Adam and Eve. God created mature trees. Do you realize? He created trees with age rings in them. He created not an infant child. He created a man with age, with maturity. And yes, He created the chicken before the egg. No evolution in this story. He created what He created to look the way He wanted it to. I just think that's amazing. God never created something and said, well, that was close. Never. Look back in chapter 1, in verse 4, He created light. And then He said, that's good. That was good. This is good. In verse number 10, He created land and sea. He said, it is good. In verse number 12, He created plants and trees. And He said, it is good. In verse 18, He created stars, the sun and the moon. And He said, that's good. In verse 21, He created birds and fish. And He said, it was good. In verse 25, He creates the beast of the earth. And He said, it was good. And in verse 31, He creates in His own image, in His own likeness, man. And He says, it is good. Beloved, creation was perfect. Creation was complete. And so God said, it is finished. And so I'm going to rest from all my work. Not because of my work. I'm going to rest from doing any more because there's no more to do. We teased on Wednesday night, how often Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock do you sit at your desk and you look around and you say, I have nothing else to do. All my work is done, so I might as well close up and go home. That's never happened to me before. And yet, God said at the end of His week, there's nothing more to do. It's finished. I find it interesting that the term, it is finished, is found twice in the New Testament. Firstly, in James chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings death. You know, church, when we try to create our own world, when we try to be God, when we try to be the Holy Spirit, when we're the ones that are trying to craft the universe around us, oh, we fail so miserably, don't we? We're just terrible at being God. And yet, it is innate in our old nature to want to be that. Next week, we will talk about the temptation. And the serpent came at Eve, tempting her to want to be something that she could not be. And when we try to take that role, what is the end of that effort? It's not life. It's death. And you know the second reference, don't you? We find it in John 19 and verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. Church, the reason that God rested was to show us how to live. In creation, when He spoke, it is finished. It was because the earth was now ready for us. On the cross, when Jesus spoke, it is finished. It was because salvation was ready for us. It was complete. And there was nothing more that we could do. There was nothing more that the rabbis or the priests could do. There was nothing more that the disciples could do. I see in creation the first Adam. And the Bible says, by one man, entered into the world. Troublingly, it doesn't say by one woman, guys. It says by one man. And Eve was deceived, and Adam just flat out rebelled against God and sinned. And so by one man, sin entered into the world. And by one man, salvation entered into the world. So we have this beautiful picture of Adam, who was the first Adam, and Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Another picture from creation. And Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. Rest in me. Don't labor to conjure up your salvation. Don't labor to be self-righteous, trying to depend on that for your salvation. The work's done here. It is finished. He spoke it. In John 17, verse 4, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. Jesus praying to His Father. Finished work, beloved. Aren't you so glad that we don't have to come here on Sundays and reenact crucifying Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but I think that would just bum me out week after week after week. Aren't you so glad that we don't have to come here and flog our backs with sharp instruments until the blood flows and then leave thinking, wow, that hurt like crazy, but I'm good for another week. Aren't you glad that as Christians we can say, we know it's finished. The work is done. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I know for some of you, you're saying, "Well, that sounds really good from up there, Pastor Tim, but you're not walking in my shoes. The yoke's not so easy on my back." So obviously you must be speaking spiritually. And perhaps, yes, as I look forward to the future, spiritually, yes, His yoke will be light. His burden will be easy. But you must not be speaking physically. Yes, I am. Psalm 16, verses 7 through 9 says, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad." This is speaking of flesh. "My heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh," the word means carne, means body. "My body also will rest in hope." The word "in hope" means in refuge. I will find refuge physically, spiritually, emotionally. I will find refuge in my Lord. Beloved, what does God want in a Sabbath? He wants for us to trust Him enough to rest in Him. He wants for us to rest in Him enough to worship Him. He wants from us a day, a Sabbath, in which to do all of the above. That's what He wants from us. He wants us to take a Sabbath for Him, to rest in Him. Now, if you are able to catch a nap on that day, that's all the better. It's better for our bodies to do that. You'll be a happier person if you can. But the Sabbath was never about rules. Do you understand that? Jesus was constantly in trouble for what He did on the Sabbath day. I love reading the Gospels and reading about these rule keepers. What, you heal somebody on the Sabbath day? What, are you crazy? You told them to pick up their bed and walk with it? Are you nuts? And Jesus came right back to them and said, "It's not about rules." Beloved, the Sabbath day was never about rules. It was then, it always has been, and it is today, about a relationship with God. That's what the Sabbath is. It's a time for us to pause and work on our relationship with Jesus Christ. To worship Him. To come into His presence like Pastor Bob and John David did so well this morning. To bring us there. To pause. And then thirdly, look at the sanctification. In verse number 3 of Genesis chapter 2, "Then God blessed the seventh day and He sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made." Then God blessed should be understood as, then God blessed the keepers of. God blessed the keepers of the Sabbath. Keep a Sabbath, in other words, and God will bless you in it. I know I'm preaching to the choir, because you've kept the Sabbath, beloved. God bless you. He will. You took the time this morning to give Him a Sabbath. And He sanctified it. The word here is pronounced. He made a pronunciation over this day. Sounds like God meant for us to take seriously our worship of Him. Sanctification of it. So, is it Saturday or is it Sunday? Which is it? You know, Jesus showed us in His life that it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He kept a Sabbath. And constantly under criticism. And you know, so are we. There are religions, there are believers that keep Saturday. There are believers that keep Sunday. And I don't think it's about the rules again. Well, why Sunday, Tim? We meet on Sunday because the Lord rose from the dead on Sunday. And so, church, every Sunday, we have a celebration of that moment. We have a celebration of that event. And that's why we meet on Sunday. To celebrate the Lord's Day. The resurrection of our Lord. Now, if you need to be hung up on a day, if that's just really important to you, then I have a verse for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You want to get hung up on a day? Get hung up on the day of salvation, beloved. For me, it was a Thursday when I accepted the Lord. It doesn't really matter. What matters is keeping a Sabbath. In 1704, Johann Freilinghausen got this thing about creation and a relationship. And he wrote a hymn, and I want to close with the hymn. On this day, the first of days, God the Father's name we praise, who creation, Lord, and spring, did the world from darkness bring. On this day, the eternal Son over death His triumph won. On this day the Spirit came with His gifts of living flame. Oh, that fervent love today may in every heart have sway, teaching us to praise aright God, the source of life and light. Father, who didst fashion me, image of Thyself to be, fill me with Thy love divine, and let my every thought be Thine. Holy Jesus, may I be dead and buried here with Thee, and by love inflamed arise unto Thee a sacrifice. Thou who dost all gifts impart, shine, blessed Spirit, in mine heart. Best of gifts Thyself bestow, make me burn Thy love to know. Let's let this last verse be our prayer today. God, the blessed Three in One, dwell within my heart alone. Thou dost give Thyself to me, may I give myself to Thee.